Today's scripture is a little on the long side. So if it is difficult for you to stand, I ask you just to remain seated and place your hand over your heart in honor of God's holy word. However, if standing is no problem for you, please stand. As I read from the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, beginning with the 16th verse, the word of the most holy God says this. One day as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her new owners saw that their hope of making money was now gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews, and they are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison door was open wide, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in his house. And that same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. When was the time you felt truly free? That you really, just felt completely free. I feel free when I love to fly. I know some of y'all aren't going to get on a plane if you can help it, but some of us love to fly. I love to fly. You're above the clouds. You know, you're above, so far above the earth you can't see people. Sometimes you get so high up you couldn't even see cars. When I flew to Greece, most of the time we were flying so high that you couldn't see anything but the lights of the cities. You couldn't see any structures at all. That felt so free. But the freest I've ever felt is on a motorcycle. You know, for those of you who wonder how people can get on those death traps, let me explain it to you. It's wonderful. You know, particularly on those states that are smart enough to know that all a helmet actually does is preserve your dental work. So you don't even have to wear a helmet. And, you know, when I'm in South Carolina, I don't wear a helmet. I do on the interstate, you know, so that they could identify me if they need to. But when you're in town, you don't have to wear one. And the feeling of the air rushing by, and it's almost like you're floating instead of on the ground, and you feel so free. And it's even better when you're not the one driving. When you're sitting on the back, you don't have to watch the road. Because as anybody that's ridden a motorcycle knows, you've got to watch for debris in the road, or you're going to be debris in the road. Okay? So if you're sitting in the back, all you have to do is feel free. And you can just sit, and I have done this, just go down the road, yes, in excess of 100 miles an hour. And it was wonderful. Don't do what I do, okay? That was in my wild and misspent youth 3 weeks ago. But it feels so amazing. It really does. It just feels amazing. And that's a feeling, if you could just like bottle that feeling, you could make your fortune. Because you feel so free. You feel so unfettered, so unbound to the earth. It's like you're flying. And it is amazing. And I do love it. But friends, some people are bound up. Some people know what it's like to feel fettered. And we just read a scripture about Paul and Silas who released a woman from a demonic possession. She was making money with her utterances for the people that owned her. So when Paul set her free, they were upset. They dragged Paul and Silas before the magistrates, and they were arrested. They were beaten. And trust me, beating with rods, this is no small thing. We're not talking just a couple of bruises here. We're talking severe pain. And then they placed them in the prison, but not just in prison. They put them in stocks. Have you ever been where you just couldn't move and you started cramping? All right, some of you my age, know them leg cramps in the night? Oh yeah, I got some nods on that one, yeah. Those times, you just got to move. Imagine if you couldn't. And the stocks were meant to keep you in such a position that you couldn't move. It was intended to cause those cramps. It was intended to be uncomfortable. They're sitting there in the pitch dark, in the deepest part of a prison, shackled, bleeding, in severe pain, and they're innocent of any wrongdoing. And I don't know about you, but to me that sounds like the perfect time for a pity party. With balloons and cake. Because this would be, for me, I mean, I could come up with a pity party on this one. I can come up with a pity party over stuff not half this bad. You know? I can have a pity party for myself sometimes when I have to park too far away. So imagine what I could come up with when, if I was in the situation Paul and Silas were in. Doing a good deed and being punished so severely for it. But what did they do? They sat singing praises to God. And all the prisoners were listening to them. Probably doing what you and I should be doing right now, going, really? How can you be in this situation and be singing songs full of joy? How can you be in this situation and be singing praises to God? Where was God when you were getting beat? Why are you praising him? Don't we do that? You know, stuff gets rough and we say, well, where are you, Lord? Instead of what have we done for him lately, we're going, what have you done for me lately? What have you done for me, Lord? Here I am. I was doing your work. Yeah. This is one preachers really like. I was doing your work, Lord, and you see what happened. But they were singing praise. They were singing songs of joy. They were adoring God. Just because he's God and just because he deserves it. And then there's an earthquake. In the middle of all that praise, in the middle of their joy, God sends an earthquake. How do I know it was God? Because earthquakes do not break chains. Their chains fell off, the stocks opened, all the doors pop open wide, and I would be going, thank you, Lord, and I'd have been out of there. Because stop and think, why should they feel concerned for their captors? Why not just lead the parade out of there? Isn't that what we would have done? I mean, obviously, you've got God's permission. God opened the door. I would have been going out and I'd have been singing more praise. Thank you, Lord, for opening the door. And if nothing else, they needed medical attention. Remember, beaten, bloody, bruised. Maybe some broken bones. Definitely wounded. If nothing else, I would have limped out of there and tried to find a doctor. But they didn't. Why didn't they escape? They didn't escape, people, because they were already free. The kind of freedom that a government can't give you. The kind of freedom that you can never earn on your own. The kind of freedom that you get that money can't buy. The freedom that only the Son of God can give us. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. They were free. It doesn't matter that they were in stocks. It doesn't matter that they were in dark in the jail. It does not matter that they were prisoners of their own pain in their body. They were free. They were free in the only way that matters. They were free in their minds and in their souls. I had a pastor when I was a child who had been a prisoner of war. And he used to say this often, two men looking out through bars, one saw mud and one saw stars. They might have been sitting in the dark, but they had the light in them. They had been set free. They had salvation. What is salvation? Give me another word for salvation. Eternal life, yeah. But if I say you got saved, what happened to you? You were set free. You were rescued.
You were salvaged.
You were salvaged. When I say when it says salvation, remember the lady going behind them was saying, these men are telling you the way of salvation. They're telling you how to be free. They're telling you how to be free. Isn't that what we really want? Isn't freedom what we're really looking for? We look for it in different forms. We would like to be economically free. Here in America, we set great store by our freedoms, don't we? We don't exercise all of our freedoms, but we get real upset if somebody tries to take one of them. We have so many rights, so many freedoms, so many things. But folks, as much as I love this country, America cannot set you free like Jesus can set you free. Jesus sets us free in every way that matters. Nothing can bind us. It doesn't matter what happens to our physical body. It doesn't matter what's happening around us. We still have the feeling of being free. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Free from our slavery to sin. Free from the punishment of death. Free from all of the things that would bind us and tie us up and keep us from becoming all that we can be. We're free from that. We're free. Better than a motorcycle at 100 miles an hour. Don't anybody do that. Free. When I read this scripture, and it just spoke to me, so it reminded me of something that was written actually in 1642, and no, I wasn't there. I'm just saying. Somebody was going to ask. But a guy named Robert Lovelace wrote this sitting in a prison cell. Stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. Minds innocent and quiet, take that for a hermitage. If I have freedom in my love and in my soul I am free, angels alone that soar above enjoy such liberty. If you have love in your heart, if you have the love of Christ in your heart, if you have a soul set free from sin, then it doesn't matter your circumstances. Whatever those circumstances are, they're going to feel like a hermitage. You know what a hermitage is? You know what that actually means? We've got the hermitage over toward Nashville. What does that mean? A safe haven. Safe haven home place. That's a hermitage. A safe haven. So it doesn't matter your circumstances. They become a safe haven. Because stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. There's a whole world out there that's caged up, that have walls around them that they don't even see. They've built those walls because they've been hurt, disappointed, betrayed. They stay behind those iron bars because they don't want anybody to get in. But folks, that's not safety. Or sometimes they've locked themselves up with their own guilt for things that they have done. But Jesus is offering today to set you free. All you have to do is accept the freedom. Be free. And stay free. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.